Welcome to Universal Joint Podcast. I'm entertainment writer Jim Hill, and my co-host, Dustin Fuse, and I are recording this podcast on Sunday, May 30th, 2021. It's in the middle of a long, soggy Memorial Day weekend down here in the States, Dustin. So I understand it, Canada takes a somewhat different approach toward honoring those who made the ultimate sacrifice in service of their country. You guys have Canada Day, is that right? July 1st?
Yeah, and then we've also got Remembrance Day in November. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we have some different holidays. We actually just had Victoria Day last weekend, so it's great. I feel so bad that you're having to deal with some horrible weather down there, because up here it's gorgeous. Everyone's getting out and enjoying the sun, although we can't go into stores or anything like that, but we're still having great weather.
Well, that's nice to hear, but well, we have weather like this, and it's historic cold down here for this time of year. We've been hitting the 30s and 40s at night, so it's a time when one might want a warm beverage. And you have news about warm beverages coming out of Universal Orlando?
Yeah, breaking news, as folks like to say. Harry Potter, all the amazingness that comes from the food and beverage at the Wizarding World, they've now put out that Butterbeer is going to be available in its hot version year-round.
Really?
Yeah, talk about breaking news, right?
Okay. Well, speaking of beverage-related stuff, I don't know if you've heard about the Harry Potter flagship store that's going to be opening in New York City, I want to say, first week or so in July.
Yeah, I've seen videos going through it already. It's such a cool store.
Well, what's kind of intriguing, at least to me, is they're going to sell Butterbeer there. But it kind of gives you a sad look into what excites me. And the notion was they actually showed that the souvenir mug that they're going to sell at the store for Butterbeer, they actually have a station set up within the store where you can go and wash your souvenir mug before you head on out to the streets of New York. And what was so funny that, when this image showed up on Twitter, immediately fans of the Wizarding World of Harry Potter at the Universal Parks were like, we need this at the Universal Parks. I don't want to take my sticky mug back, to the hotel. And it's like, okay, well.
I did the same thing with my Flaming Moe or Flaming Homer, as we all understand it. You get the souvenir glass, and do you really want to carry around that sticky used thing? But at the end of the day, you find a nice little water fountain, get some napkins, and then you throw it in the suitcase, and it's right actually in front of me, right next to my E.T. stuffed animal right here at the studio. So it's great.
Okay, cool. All right, so anyway, again, Long Memorial Day weekend, at least down here in the States, is the unofficial start of summer. And what was kind of interesting is after all of us being cooped up with COVID for the past 14 months or so, according to the AAA, 37 million Americans were expected to hit the road on this 3-day weekend. And judging by the images that were posted on Friday, at least half of those folks drove to the Universal Orlando Resort and then got in line to enter that giant parking garage complex they have there that, what is it, has room for over 20,000 cars. And so why did so many people head to Universal Orlando for Memorial Day? Well, for starters, we have the VelociCoaster, which is not officially supposed to open till June 10th. Right after the annual pass holder previews that were held, May 2nd through the 5th, this attraction, this thrill ride, then entered soft opening mode and then became available to day guests starting on May 7th. And I think just this past Friday, the official POV ride-on version dropped for VelociCoaster on, I want to say, the Universal or official Universal Orlando Parks blog. Did you check that out?
Yeah, and I think the fact that you have these POV official videos coming out. It makes sense because up to this point, a lot of the fan sites and a lot of the YouTube community would try to be the first. And there were and are, you know, Velocicoaster POVs out there. But I think Universal realized that with so many people at home and not being able to travel or planning to travel, they wanted to make sure that you had something to look forward to. And I love the sound effects. I love that they did it at the right time of day. I can't wait to see if they're going to do a nighttime one. But it looked amazing. And once again, I'm so jealous of everyone who's had that opportunity to jump in line and play with the Velocicoaster.
Now, speaking of you know, well, soon to be released footage, you were mentioning as we were pre-gaming today's podcast that Colin Trevorrow has some news that's Jurassic World related, right?
Yeah, so Jurassic World 3, also known as Jurassic World Dominion, is going to be huge. And the director teased that the trailer is coming out sooner than you think. Quote, it's going to be sooner than you think. I can't talk about it just yet. We've got something fun planned, and it has everything to do with getting people back into the movie theaters, end quote. I can't wait for this. What's interesting, though, is that this is going to be one of those stories of a movie that was filming during the COVID pandemic, that it's going to be all focused around how they were able to create this incredible experience during things like having cast and crew isolated in a bubble and having apparently the number of COVID tests for this movie was around 40,000. So there's a lot of that type of thing that's going to come out. And I'm very excited to see how they did it. But, you know, I'm just more excited to see this movie.
Forgive me for tossing this out there, because, again, this is just I believe the acronym is WAG, a wild ass guess on my part. But, you know, look, Fast and Furious 9 opens in the States on June 25th. And, you know, it's already open at international, lots of spots, China, eight other territories. And we'll talk a bit more about it in the second half of today's show. But given what he's teasing here and, you know, saying sooner than later, wouldn't it stand to reason that when Fast 9 drops in theaters in the States that they're, you know, wouldn't you put a Jurassic World 3 trailer in front of that film?
That's you know, marketing 101 right there. That's a great idea. And I think we're also looking at the potential of possibly seeing what they are doing with Fast 9 with the lead up to that, which we talked about on the last show. Maybe they do the same thing with the Jurassic Park franchise. There's a lot of potential on what they're going to do. And depending on what markets they're trying to get into, that's going to dictate how much money they're going to be spending on this. But yeah, you know, it's a movie that people are interested in seeing because they're bringing everyone back. And I think that's just going to be fun to see.
Okay. Now, speaking of people coming back, and again, we were just talking about record crowds coming out to, you know, the Universal Orlando Resort for the Memorial Day weekend. But let's be honest, it's not just on the back of Velocicoaster. A lot of stuff has changed, you know, just since we recorded our last show. Take, for example, what was it? You know, May 6th, Universal Orlando drops the mandatory temperature checks before you can enter the theme parks. Then May 14th, word comes down that guests at the Universal Orlando Resort are no longer required to wear face coverings when they're outdoors on theme park property. You know, this wasn't something that Universal came up on its own. It came on the back of new guidance that had been issued earlier that same week from the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention in regard to mask usage. That guidance still called for people to continue to wear face coverings in crowded indoor settings, like, say, the queues of attractions. But if guests were outside in the theme parks or resorts, they could keep their mask off. Just so you know, as soon as Universal Orlando made this announcement, SeaWorld and Walt Disney World quickly followed suit, and guests at those theme parks, who were outside could stop wearing face covering. And then just yesterday, Saturday, May 29th, word came down that fully vaccinated guests were no longer required to wear masks indoors. Now, where this gets interesting is Universal Orlando team members, even the ones that are fully vaccinated, still have to wear face coverings. And it's out of an abundance of caution, or so says a Universal Orlando spokesperson. And we should also note here that what sort of got the ball rolling here was, what was it? It was back on March 19th when the CDC decided that, you know, we could go from, you know, when it came to social distancing, we could go from 6 feet to 3 feet. And, you know, in fact, it was interesting watching, you know, all the people at Disney who had been in charge of laying down the various stickers, you know, okay, this is 6 feet and this is 6 feet, and suddenly run out to get more. So it's like, okay, this is 3 feet now, you know. But I have to say, given how quickly things have changed in the past month in regard to, you know, how we're handling COVID, I wonder what your thoughts are, Dustin, because obviously things are a bit different up in Canada right now. I mean, you guys are on the other side of your third wave of COVID at this point. And I want to say this past week, Prime Minister Trudeau said that he is hopeful, given the accelerated rate of vaccination within the populace, that Canada as a nation could return to a normal way of life by this fall. Am I getting that right?
Yeah, you're on the right track. And what we've realized up here is that there's a difference of policy from province to province, and mm-hmm. also from folks within different industries. So we're seeing the amount of activities that folks in the U.S. Are able to do. And up here in Toronto, for example, we're still technically in a stay-at-home order, and no essential retail or non-essential retail is still closed. For example, we can't go to the Disney store. We can't go to the mall and buy pants. We can't do any of that. I was actually telling you earlier that we went to the dollar store this morning, and you couldn't even go and buy candles for a birthday cake. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of differences of what's going on for country to country. But I think the question that you asked about perhaps things being a little bit too quick for mm-hmm. some folks, that's not just up here in Canada. I think that's also folks down in the States, because mm-hmm. the idea behind going to a theme park is you're supposed to be able to escape reality. Mm-hmm. And then you have masks, and then you have social distancing. And within such a short amount of time, ironically, right before the major weekend, Memorial Day weekend, they start to say that you don't have to social distance, you don't have to wear masks, you don't have to do a lot of the things that folks in Florida and, you know, team members were saying.
You were just talking about, you know, for example, again, you know, folks, we've been, you know, prepping this show for a couple of weeks yet, and it was like just trying to stay on top of the news. Well, explain about, what was it, the river ride and the Plexi.
Oh, yeah. So I had this, you know, perfect thing that we were going to talk about, how the river adventure, you didn't have to wear a mask because it was outdoors and it was a water attraction. And then they started to take down the plexiglass. And then they, you know, a couple of days ago, they said you can now go in every row. And I'm sitting here like constantly updating my notes, getting ready for the recording. And then they say, well, now you don't have to wear a mask if you're vaccinated. You don't have to, you know, social distance. And I'm still sitting here like, we're still in a stay-at-home order up here. And what a lot of folks are realizing is that every location that you're thinking about, from Universal Orlando to Universal Studios Hollywood and around the globe, everyone's dealing with a different reality.
Yeah, I don't
know. So, yeah, up here, completely different. What we also find funny is that if you were to drive across the border, say, from Quebec into New Hampshire, that's two different worlds at this point.
It is. But at the same time, you know, I mean, face it, we've been dealing with this for 15 months at this point. And it's, you know, take for example that whole fully vaccinated guests are no longer required to wear masks indoors thing. And the thing is that Universal Orlando is just going to take people at their word here. Here's the pertinent quote from a resort spokesperson. While we will not require proof of vaccination, we do expect our guests to comply with this revised policy and use face coverings if they have not been vaccinated. So, okay, just to be clear here, we're now all supposed to assume that when we see someone coming at us in a theme park and they're not wearing a mask, that guest is complying with Universal's new policy. And if they're there in the park enjoying themselves, that guest must be fully vaccinated. And are you familiar with the old Russian proverb? I believe it goes, dovii no provii? You know, if you know your American history, this is Reagan and Gorbachev. And the English translation is basically trust but verify. As in, a responsible and intelligent person always verifies something before he or she commits to a course of action. And you know, as of 2 days ago, only 41% of the population here in the States has been fully vaccinated. That doesn't give me overwhelming confidence. You know, again, that those aren't great odds. And I say that as a 62-year-old guy who's been fully vaccinated since the tail end of April.
But that also doesn't include the kids. Yeah. Like, yeah. If I remember correctly, and we're getting into a different, you know, spin of things. Yeah. But if you're in the theme parks, you're bringing your family. Yeah. And I don't believe they're... As of this recording, believe me, by the time this comes out, there's a good chance that things can change.
Yes, yes. Things have been crazy dynamic. So, you know, that.
But if kids are, I believe, under the age of 12, mm-hmm. there's not a lot of vaccinations happening for that age group. Those are the age bracket that's usually in theme parks. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of conversation going around whether or not you are safe to go to theme parks. And I still believe you are, mm-hmm. as long as you're taking the proper precautions. But if they're saying you don't have to wear coverings, you don't have to social distance. I was looking at videos earlier today from Universal, mm-hmm. and it's a spot where I'm like, okay, just if you don't like crowds in general, mm-hmm. not even during a pandemic, if you don't like crowds, don't go to theme parks during Memorial Day weekend. Mm-hmm. It's always bonkers. Yeah. We'll see what'll happen coming soon, but you know, if we're thinking theme parks getting back to normal, I don't know.
Well, speaking of theme parks getting back to normal, you know, face it, the other part of the equation is staffing. And
absolutely.
You know, and in fact, I want to circle back to a quote that Bob Chapek, this came out of the most recent Walt Disney Company quarterly earnings call. This was back on May 13th. And so Disney CEO says about 80% of Disney World employees have returned to their park roles. And we've had no problem whatsoever with getting workers to return. And, you know, and what was interesting is the investment community basically was like, liar, liar, pants on fire, you know, because it was one of these things. Oh, wait a minute. You know, you said 80% came back. Where's the other 20%? And, you know, and we had no problem whatsoever with getting people to return. So, you know, and the interesting thing is, you know, everyone in the investing community waited for that shoe to drop, and sure enough it did, but not from the place anybody expected. And do you want to talk about, you know, how, what was it, just this past week, Universal jumped its starting wage or its wage for starting team members?
Yeah, really great news is coming out of Universal. Effective June 27th, Universal will be increasing our starting base rate to $15 per hour, as mm-hmm. well as increasing many of our starting rates across the business, up to and including entry-level salaried roles. In addition, many team members will receive a raise based on the new rates and their time with the company, and they'll provide more details on how this will personally affect the individual team members. But yeah, that shows that there's a difference in the market for employees and trying to fill these positions, not just at Universal, but across the board.
Yeah. Now, it's worth noting here that Universal started or jumped its starting wage for, you know, newly hired team members from $13 an hour to $15 an hour. It's according to them, it's the largest individual increase in wages in the history of the resort. But also worth noting here is that, you know, think about it. You know, they had to do this because it's a far tighter labor pool now in Central Florida. And we knew this because back in April, we actually saw the Walt Disney Company relax it's dress and appearance codes, for new hires, to the effect of, the first time ever Disney was willing to hire qualified candidates that had visible tattoos and, what was the other phrase? Oh, gender inclusive hairstyles. So the fact that Disney had to do that back in April told us already that, they were having a tougher time, getting bodies through the door. And in fact, you were talking, as we were pre-gaming about, the college program. And there's been some interesting news for Disney and Universal, in regards to that as well. I guess they announced that they were starting up the college program before they had necessarily reached out to the universities and colleges that are part of the program. And they were like, yeah, interesting thing there. We're having trouble getting the kids coming back here too. So the notion of, the labor pool that they assumed would be there, that kids returning to physical schools, at this point, the universals are struggling, universities are struggling in much the same way as Universal and Disney are. So, interesting time. Now, just to be clear here that we've been talking about crowds and how crowded it was over the long Memorial Day weekend. And I want to stress here that neither the Universal Parks or the Disney Parks at this point are operating at full capacity. Not yet, anyway. Here's a key quote from a Universal Orlando spokesperson. We always manage attendance to provide a safe and enjoyable guest experience, but plan to return to pre-COVID attendance levels as staffing and operational conditions allow. Long story short, we don't have the bodies right now to get back to full capacity, and we're still doing, still getting our arms around this COVID thing. So we are months away from this happening on either coast. Speaking of the West Coast, we should probably talk about what's going on at Universal Studios Hollywood. I think we mentioned on the previous show that theme park's Secret Life of Pets Off the Leash attraction finally opened on April 15th, and people love the queue that takes you through the various apartments where the creatures from those two Illumination films live. And a real highlight of the queue for that attraction is the room where you encounter an animatronic Captain Snowball. But did you see what just opened at Universal Studios Hollywood on the upper lot 6 days ago?
Yeah, it looks like you can actually have a full-fledged conversation with Captain Snowball, which is incredibly cool. Mm-hmm. I love the idea that they're having a character interact with the crowds, and he's actually up on his balcony, mm-hmm. and he's shouting down to guests as they're passing by. Mm-hmm. Very similar to any interactive experience that you see within the theme parks, where you'll have a voice actor able to have conversations similar to the donkey from Shrek, mm-hmm. or even the water fountain.
That's true. I was also thinking of Mr. Ping.
Yes.
They do that thing for Chinese New Year where, that they'll set up his noodle shop and, Mr. Ping will interact with guests and happily pose for selfies and that sort of thing. But, I have to admit, from what I've seen of the footage so far, looks like a lot of fun. And they also, they kind of caught a lucky break in that, Kevin Hart was the voice of Captain Snowball. So, this character, can be loud and obnoxious, which works in a theme park, mm-hmm. That way you can hear him when he's up on his balcony yelling down at you.
It's super interesting, though, that it's around the area of the the old Walking Dead walkthrough attraction.
Is.
Because what's going to happen with Halloween Horror Nights this year?
Well, that's... I would imagine they'll just dress him up in his Captain Snowball outfit, and he will, hassle people as they go by. Now, speaking of recent openings, we have to talk about the Jurassic World Tribute Store, which just opened at Universal Studios Florida back on May 27th.
Absolutely. And the big thing to keep in mind is that, once again, Jim and myself have not been able to go down to the theme park. Mm-hmm. So we're living vicariously through our friends, like, you know, BioReconstruct and Alicia Stella. But with the tribute store, which, by the way, is one of the most versatile merchandise locations in that park, I love how it reinvents itself all the time.
Yeah, I have to admit, from the three most recent versions, when we went from the Christmas store with the I'm blanking the name of the squirrel, to then what they did for the
Earl the squirrel.
If you think about it, what they did for Halloween Horror Night, going into then their Christmas program, and then straight into their Mardi Gras stuff, to now this. And each time, I mean, the physical plant stays the same, but the fact that, you know, that they come across with such dynamic new spaces, it's just
absolutely,
you know, just kind of startling.
Yeah. So this one, if you haven't seen the videos, please go. You will absolutely just adore the level of detail that went into it. So you walk in, you get to the control room, which is the Velocicoaster control room. They've got videos set up. They've got all the new merchandise, grand opening stuff, and just a lot of details. Then you go from there into the Raptor paddock, which I think is just a blast, because you get to see just the, once again, the level of detail. They've got things like the U-Design phone cases, personalized metal wall signs. They've got the Magic Company candles, which are really cool. They brought out designs and scents like the East Dock, Churro Stand, Sorno Redwoods, Pack Hunt, that kind of thing. But one of the things that we're famous for here on the Universal Joint is the Moldorama.
Yeah, and I forgive me, that I want to say Twitter, erupted when they showed the images of the the T-Rex and the sauropod that you can get at this thing. And initially, it's like, you know, the Twitter sphere was like, these are not up to date, takes on dinosaurs, and again, Jurassic World and Jurassic Park likes to be cutting edge, and I'm looking at it and I'm totally geeking out, because like, no guys, you don't get it. These are the actual Moldomatic figures you're looking at here. These were created for the 1964-1965 New York World's Fair. In fact, the only place you could get them is at the Sinclair Dino Land exhibit at the fair. And this was the souvenir that you could pick up after you walked through the space, and they had these full-size dinosaurs. But again, they were full-size dinosaurs from the way we thought about dinosaurs back in the 60s. In fact, the crazy part of it is that they actually based the designs of the dinosaurs that were in this exhibit on Charles R. Knight's paintings of dinosaurs. In fact, what's so funny is I can tell you the exact painting they based this thing on. You can go to the Yale Peabody Museum of Natural History, and Charles' painting of, a T-Rex standing upright and a sauropod standing in the middle of the swamp, that's where it came from. And it just sort of like, and the fact that, our thinking on dinosaurs has evolved so much at this point. It was so funny. Have you seen Mitchell versus the Machines just yet?
No, not yet. It's on the list.
Okay. Well, they have the son character in that. I empathize very heavily with, because when I was a kid, I was so into dinosaurs. There's a wonderful scene in the movie where the kid has the phone book open and he's literally calling people. He's like, hello, would you like to talk about dinosaurs? Okay, thank you. And then crosses the name off of in the phone book. But there's a moment where he bonds with another nerd girl in the neighborhood, they're both looking at dinosaurs, and the girl kind of just casually mentions, well, it would be more authentic, realistic if it had feathers, and the little boy just sort of like, did get a huge smile on his face as he's met the love of his life, because this is a girl who knows that, our perception now of dinosaurs is they'd have feathers. So, but again, that's the thing. I'm old enough that I remember when the T-Rexes walked upright and they were slow and they were cold-blooded. And it's like, you know, we change and, so much.
And I remember when, you know, in the first Jurassic Park, the entire plot was to try and get those the samples into the Barbasol shaving cream can, which, by the way, they have the screen used prop in the Tribute Center, in addition to the Dinosaur Detectives book. Mm-hmm. And the screen-used hat of Alan Grant. Wow. Lots of stuff in there. I think that, you know, similar to the outside studio store that they just put into City Walk, same level of detail with trying to get these props and this story into a completely different world. So that's the Raptor paddock. And then in the lab, they have a behind-the-scenes look of just a lot of stuff. They also have, and once again, I can't wait to get down there. My credit card and my debit card in my pocket are just burning a hole. They have Mr. DNA merchandise.
Yeah.
I want it all. Yeah, I want the hat. I want, I'll do a sweatshirt, whatever it takes.
Don't they also have, what is it? When you get it to the food section, again, that carried over from Mardi Gras and, you know, Earl the Squirrel's Tree Farm and all that. Don't they have, like, insects in amber candy or, you know, or some sort of baked goods that...
Yeah, they've got the amber gummy for $7. Mm-hmm. They've got a chocolate egg that you can crack into and there's a dinosaur inside. Mm-hmm. They've got fudge, followed by fudge on top of fudge. Mm-hmm. They've got a lot of blues and grays in that that cabinet. But yes, I want, once again, want to be down there. Mm-hmm. Everyone who's doing it, jealous. But the other thing that I would kind of look at is just the level of detail that's going into this this store, and how so many people are going to think that they're done as soon as they've handed over their form of payment. No, if you get to the very end, you have to get a selfie with the statue of John Hammond, which is an actual screen-used statue from the Jurassic World film.
Oh, all right. Well, hopefully shortly. Again, but again, you know, the one thing with the tribute stores is they're relatively short-lived. I mean, I don't think, you know, one of them has lasted more than 2 and 3 months at this point. And it's just, you know, for those of us who have been watching from a distance, like, missed that one, missed that one. Speaking of things I think I'm going to miss, have you heard about this new DreamWorks Destination attraction, the thing that replaced a day in the park with Barney?
Yeah, you go into a building and there's some high energy team members that are dancing like there's no tomorrow. It looks like we've got Puss in Boots, King Julian, Alex, Guy Diamond. It's all the DreamWorks characters just dancing and getting selfies.
Well, I mean, you know, I honestly kind of feel bad for the folks in Universal Entertainment, because you can almost see the timeline here, you know, that they were, you know, shutting down, the Barney attraction. They had this space in the kids' zone. They had this wonderful theater set up. And at the same time, you know, it was a tough time for people to do meet and greets and that sort of thing with the characters, obviously, because of COVID. So somebody must have come up with the show idea, with the notion that, you know, in fact, what's interesting when you watch the videos from the team member previews, and my understanding that that's the mode the attraction's in right now. It hasn't opened to the public officially. It's in team member preview mode. And, you know, the notion is that they talk about, okay, you know, that first you get the and you're right. It's amazing dancing, you know, and especially amazing dancing for the people who are in those suits, you know, with, you know, the weight of them, the sight lines, the fact they can dance that well is stunning. But they then pause in the dancing, and the whole notion is, okay, if you're number one, step up here and you get your picture taken with King Julian, then move to the next number one, you know, and then, what is it? The three characters that are on stage exit, and then three more characters dance in. But again, you know, the whole notion was that it's a show that's set up for, you know, to respect social distancing, you know, and in just the past month between, you know, social distancing going from 6 feet to 3 feet, and then, you know, the fact that, you know, all the things we were just talking about the COVID safety things about, you know, mask indoors, you know, oh, no more masks indoors. And I have the uneasy feeling that this is a show whose expiration date is happening right now. You know,
is this the first time that we've seen a potential attraction be announced, be set up, and actually not make it to a map by the time that it's canceled?
I think the DreamWorks Destination idea will survive. I just think they're going to have to mutate it, because this was created to be low capacity, done on the, on the back of people want to have their pictures taken with the characters. So they're going to have to somehow mutate it for larger audiences, because face it, you can now, you know, in much the same way you were describing, removing the plexiglass in the River Adventure and filling up all the rows, you know, you can now fill up that entire theater because we're not doing the 6 feet thing anymore, you know?
Yeah, they'll probably end up doing kind of what they did with the Epcot character spots and, you know, just set up a spot inside. But they're such important characters within the Universal resort that I don't think that they'll keep a King Julian or a Poe or a Guy Diamond inside of a location when they can plop them in front of, you know, the fork in the road at Islands of Adventure.
We'll have to see what happens here. But again, you know, you always have to remember with these multinational corporations that, you know, own theme parks, that, you know, they always view them as, you know, promotional devices. And what's interesting is people are making their way through the queue of the DreamWorks Destination show. They have to pass all these flat screens that are doing a promotion for Spirit Untamed, the new DreamWorks movie that'll be opening at theaters on June 4th. And I have to assume that they're also pushing Boss Baby 2, the family business, the sequel that, by the way, originally was supposed to be released at theaters on September 17th and just got moved up to July 2nd, which tells you a lot about how the company feels about this film, because you don't move a film into summer blockbuster season if you're not fairly certain you have a summer blockbuster on your hands. Now, speaking, though, of cross-promotion, have you heard anything about, Camp Cretaceous being promoted over IOA and Jurassic Park, Jurassic World? I mean, they just dropped 10 new episodes of the show back on May 21st. And you'd think, given that that's supposed to be a big hit for Netflix, and more to the point, you know, little kids who already love dinosaurs love it even more because of Camp Cretaceous. Are they doing anything over there?
I haven't seen a lot, but as you said, there's new stuff popping up all the time. At Universal Studios Hollywood, they just opened up the Dino Play for Kids, which is the fossil dig site and the jungle climber and rope bridge right next to the Jurassic World ride. And then they also just opened up the second raptor for the meet and greet. Bravo is now meeting interchangeably with Blue. So it would make sense that with a theme park, with Islands of Adventure and then with Universal Studios Hollywood, so in tune with the Jurassic World franchise, that there would be Camp Cretaceous stuff all over the place.
Yeah, I think Alicia Stella at one point was showing photos of maybe Carly Wiesel, that there were the equivalent of a Camp Cretaceous keychain thing. In fact, I think they were probably showing off their bumpy, and I want a bumpy too. Speaking of in-park promotions, when Dustin and I get back, we will talk about the Universal Parks and the 2021 Tokyo Olympic Games and what's going on in the parks with that. And we're back. Okay, so we were just talking about the Tokyo Olympic Games. Okay, we are now less than 8 weeks out from, this event, which was originally supposed to get underway in Japan last July. And in fact, you know, if we're being completely honest here, remember, what was it? That Super Nintendo World, was actually created, you know, with the notion of, we will have this open at Universal Studios Japan and Osaka in time to take advantage of that huge influx of tourists who will be coming to the Olympic Games, you know, in Tokyo in 2020. And obviously, you know, COVID-19 knocked that off schedule. But anyway, if all goes according to plan, the delayed version of the 2021 Tokyo Olympic Games will get underway on Friday, July 23rd. And right now, folks, that's a pretty big if, given that just this past Friday, the Japanese government extended the state of emergency covering major cities in that country, which was put in place back in April 25th, to be exact, in an effort to contain yet another flare-up of the pandemic. Anyway, the state of emergency in Japan, which covers the capital of Tokyo, Osaka, again, that's where Universal Studios Japan is, and seven other prefectures, it's just been extended through June 20th of this year, which is less than 5 weeks from the start of the 2021 Tokyo Olympic Games. And now I bring this up because if again, we were talking about the record crowds, you know, down at the Universal Orlando Resort, you know, for the Memorial Day weekend. And a lot of folks, just over these last couple of days are marching through the gateway, you know, through the giant arch that leads into Universal Studios Florida. And they're encountering a pretty big push for the Olympic Games. Okay, so let's start with that archway. As you pass under it, you pass under a giant red medallion that reminds you that the 2021 Tokyo Olympic Games will be held July 23rd through August 8th of this year. More importantly, that those games will be broadcast on NBC. Also, now as you go through the gate and you're walking into Universal Studios Florida, you're headed up Production Central toward Race through New York, starring Jimmy Fallon. So you walk by the Universal Music Plaza stage. They're hanging off the stage. You have giant, colorful banners that are paying tribute to noted U.S. athletes like Simone Biles. And they're on the plaza because, you know, again, you know, the Universal likes to reuse things. We have those food tents that we had for Mardi Gras and Halloween Horror Nights. In fact, I think this was where you could get that thing with corn that was supposed to be teeth. Remember that from Halloween Horror Night?
That it's amazing how some of these things just, you know, they were only a couple of months ago, but it seems like generations ago. But yes, they did have corn that was like teeth. Yep.
Yes, there we go. But anyway, so now these food booths are being used to sell cuisine, you know, that reminiscent of what you'd get if you actually traveled over to Japan and attended the 2021 Olympic Games. And then finally, and this is what's fascinating, just this past Friday night, we had a brand new nighttime show debut out on the lagoon at Universal Studios Florida. And this is a celebration of the Olympics on NBC. And it uses all of this amazing footage that they got from NBC Sports. And you know, again, great looking show, you know, by the team that does such a great job with shows like Cinematic Celebration and that sort of thing. But, well, look, it's not really all that big a surprise that Universal Studios Florida is promoting the 2021 Tokyo Olympic Games, especially given that Comcast back in May of 2014, they actually paid an unprecedented $7.75 billion, that's billion with a B, folks, to secure the broadcast rights to the Olympic Games for NBC and all of the NBC-affiliated cable channels through 2032. And so obviously Comcast wants some sort of return of investment for that $7.5 billion that they put, you know, paid out to the IOC, which is why they began advertising the then 2020 Tokyo Olympics games back in July of 2019. But of course, the pandemonium knocked those promotional plans into a cocktail, which is why Comcast is now redoubling its efforts. It's leaning hard on various divisions of this corporation, like the Universal Parks and Resorts, to help get the word out about the 2021 Tokyo Olympic Games. And the folks at Universal Studios Florida, that's like, okay, sure. You know, promotion is a two-way street, so we'll help you promote our, you know, your 2021 Olympic Game broadcast if you in turn help us with Velocicoaster. So, so that's why on June 10th, the Today Show will be on site for the opening of this new IOA thrill ride. Even with, you know, the theme parks helping Comcast promote the Tokyo Games, I have to tell you, Dustin, the folks at NBC Sports are nervous as hell, largely because just 6 days ago, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention here in the States issued a level 4 travel health advisory, which started out with this rather blunt statement: do not travel to Japan due to COVID-19. Think about this. You're an executive at NBC Sports. You already had to move, and you put years into the planning of how you were going to broadcast, the Tokyo, 2020 Tokyo Olympic Games. And you had to move it last summer. Mm-hmm. In fact, they found out, I want to say in March, that the games are going to be canceled. So, all right. So, we found out in March, and that gave us time to fill the hole in our schedule. But now, we just had, just literally this past Friday, the nation of Japan extend its state of emergency to June 20th. And what if the IOC, the International Olympic Committee, what if they decide it's just too risky for athletes to travel to Tokyo and opt? And the thing is, right now, the IOC has flat out said there is no plan B. All right, because you got to remember that they moved the Summer Games. They did not move the Winter Olympics. All right, those are still going to happen in 2022. So it's like, we either hold the Olympics Games this July or, it's Summer Olympic Games, or we don't hold them at all. And so you're an NBC executive and you don't have 3 months to plan for a hole in your schedule. You got 6 weeks. That's the stuff of nightmares. Now add to this that in Japan right now, current polling shows that 60 to 80% of that country's residents now want the 2021 Tokyo Games canceled. And the concern there is, well, what happens when 15,000 Olympics and Paralympic athletes from more than 200 countries descend to Japan, which is already overwhelmed by the pandemic? Now, mind you, the IOC is insisting that, more than 80% of the athletes and staff staying in the Olympic Village have already been vaccinated. More to the point that, these 15,000 competitors will be compelled to stay within the security bubble that will be enforced around the Olympic Village and at the competition venue. But, and then there's the way this gets interesting is that when this most recent state of emergency was declared, Universal Studios Japan announced that, it would close as well. It would honor the state of emergency, which got extended, twice. But, they just announced last week that, Universal Studios Japan in Osaka would be reopening on June 1st. To help with the pandemic, they'd only open on weekdays because those were the days that the park traditionally had its lowest attendance. They'd stay closed on Saturdays and Sundays. They'd keep limited hours. They'd only be open from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. And then the kicker, they'd only allow 5,000 people in per day. But again, that was the plan announced in May. And then this past Friday, they extended the emergency, which again includes Osaka, where the park is located, through June 20th. And honestly, folks, I have been hammering the entire time prepping today's show, just looking for that press release. In fact, we're going to take a second here, in real time, Universal Studios Japan closed. And let's see. Nope, it still says Universal Studios Japan to reopen on June 1st and operate only on weekdays. So, nobody's blinked yet, it's just going to be interesting to see what happens here. I almost feel worst about all the people here about the team at Universal Studios Florida who just put up all of this Olympic stuff. What happens if they don't go forward with this? What do they have in the interim? What would they replace this stuff with? Could be lean into promoting Fast and Furious 9, which, as we mentioned during the show, recently opened in major international markets, including China. It was the top grossing film in China since the pandemic happened. And while we're talking,
there's not a lot of competition.
No,
though, when you're looking at that kind of a world. But yeah, that's super interesting. The thing that I'm going to bring up with regards to the travel and athletes and such is that we saw two examples last year of bubbles. Mm-hmm. And we had the NHL bubble up here in Toronto and in Edmonton. And you brought, I think it was 12 to 16 teams into the two bubbles. And they were sequestered. They were in their own world. No one could go out. No one could come in. You basically were in the bubble. Same thing as what happened with the NBA at Disney World last year, where you basically had, these NBA stars with magic bands and they weren't able to go outside of zones. And it cost a lot of money, but you had buy-in. Mm-hmm. And where my mind goes is that you're bringing, as you said, 15,000 Olympic and Paralympic athletes from 200 countries. That's not just the U.S. Mm-hmm. That's countries that don't have a handle on this pandemic.
200 countries and territories. So, yes, you're right. As we talked earlier in the show, it's a very different story, depending on vaccination rates or infection rates, depending, where you are on the globe. So
that's one thing to kind of keep in mind as we're going through this process. It's going to be a changing goal because we still don't know what's going to happen. There's a lot of talk within the community of athletes saying whether or not it's a safe thing for them to go. And that's not just golfers and tennis stars. That's soccer. That's, every sport. Mm-hmm. And you have NBA. The basketball is one of the highlights of the Summer Olympic Games. And will NBA stars not go into something like this where they're putting themselves at risk? And I wonder if the teams would even have that kind of a conversation, knowing that they already lost basically an entire season of revenue. They're just finally starting to get some tickets going out there. But yeah, it'll be one of those things. But that's not the only thing that's happening with Universal, right? We have one more interesting thing.
Now, and again, I apologize because you got to remember that there's been while all of this has been going on, work has been continuing on Universal Studios Beijing. And in fact, if the stories are true, Universal Studios Beijing began technical rehearsals this week. There was some talk early this year about how the park would have its official grand opening on June 1st, and that seems to have been scrubbed. And I think largely because, again, of the pandemic and travel restrictions and the like. Mm-hmm. But it's just, but again, earlier this week, there were a couple of tweets from folks who were on site about, ooh, we're about to begin technical rehearsal. And then, you know, the hammer came down. You know, the news immediately dried up. So Dustin and I are just throwing out a few feeders right here, folks, that if you know, we're going to assume, given the way how dynamic the news is lately, by the time we record our next episode of Universal Joint, that there will be some info coming out from Universal Studios Beijing, and we'll share that with you. And undoubtedly, Universal Orlando and Universal Hollywood will have changed their COVID-related policy yet again. So, you know,
we should put the note out there saying that we are recording this, and the facts are accurate as of Sunday, May 30th at 5:15 p.m. East Coast Standard Time.
Okay,
if anything changes between now and then, it's not our fault.
Okay. Yeah, so it virtually guarantees that you know, we're going to stop recording in a moment. So at 5:18 p.m. is when they'll announce it. Universal Studios Japan is pushing back its opening till July. So, anyway, folks, Dustin, I want to thank you for listening in. And, you know, that's always a pleasure to come here and chat about what's going on with the Universal Parks and Resorts. And Dustin, you know, now that we're wrapping up here, well, where else can folks find you online?
Yeah, I'm over at stepstomagic.com, Disney and Universal trip planning from a guy who can't get on a plane. It's really fun, though, because I'm having a chance to update articles and revisit things a little bit more often as, you know, team member friends are reaching out and saying, hey, this is what's going on in the parks. So our hope is to get down there. But for anyone who is checking out the VelociCoaster and spending time at the parks, we're there with you because you guys are living the dream that some of us who can't get down to. But yes, stepstomagic.com for all your Disney and Universal, you know, talking about cupcakes and all.
Very cool. All right. We'll tell you what, folks. That's going to do it for us. And Nancy would like me to remind you that we have a couple other podcasts here. We've got Disney Dish with Len Testa. Likewise, we have Marvelous Disney. In fact, I'm going to be recording a brand new one of those with Aaron Adams later this week. And God help me, I'm going to get a new Looking at Lucasfilm out the door if it kills me. Fine Tuning. Drew and I just did a fun new show there. And I still want to get a merch show out the door with Michelle Valladolid. The I want that, but I can find the time to do that. All right. Beyond that, Nancy would also like me to remind you that we have a wonderful sponsor here at Universal Joint. That is Storybook Destination. They are our trusted travel partner. So if you're looking for a worry-free travel experience, please book online at storybookdestinations.com. Likewise, if you want to keep tabs on us social media-wise, you can find us at Twitter and Instagram as Jim Hill Media and over on Facebook as Jim Hill Media News. And, all right, I'm going to do one more check here, Dustin, just to be sure. And, yep, yeah, Universal Japan still reopening on June 1st. So, okay, you know, it's 5:20 p.m. on Sunday. So that story will break in just a second. Well, it's not our fault. Okay, thanks for listening again, folks. We'll be back soon.